like in the promise and the natural, the book of Ephesians is what life is like living 24 hours a day in the Spirit in the New Jerusalem. And the biggest exhortation in it is that you no more be swayed like a cork in the sea by the winds and the waves of circumstances and the sleight of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive, including your own mind. It's time to take things to the limit. I know it's difficult for some of you, but can you remember when you were a teenager, somewhere between the ages of 12 and 19? If you were anything like me, and I think you were, you knew that the lies that were being told you, that the systems that were being foisted upon you, that the value systems that you were supposedly being taught were wrong. You knew it with everything in you. There comes a time between the ages of 12 and 21, in that period of time, when you are certain that everything in the universe that you've been taught is wrong. And guess what? You're right. And then what happens? And slowly but surely, you sell out one value system at a time. You sell out until pretty soon you have no identity of your own. You're only a patchwork of value systems that have been conned upon you by whatever society you live in. And if you're a communist, you're living in a communist country, you'd be a good communist. If you're in America, you'd be a good whatever you're good at. And finally, you get to 20 to 30 and you find out you have no idea who you are. Because you've lost the ability to respond to the impulse within you. The thing that happened when you knew you were right. Almost all of the disciples, save one, were teenagers. We forget that. The only one that wasn't a teenager, two of them weren't a teenager. One was Judas, the oldest. And his value systems were so ingrained that he sold out Christ because Christ did not meet his expectations of what life should look like. But yet Matthew, who was almost as old as he was, did. He stayed. He remained. He cast down the imaginations in the high places that were exalting themselves. I do not care if every one of you leave. I care, part of me, but I'm going to continue on in the same thing.
Wasn't Luke older too? He was a doctor.
Do you understand what we're called physicians? He wasn't a disciple anyway, but do you understand what we're called physicians? We're... So totally, they didn't go to 8 years of medical school.
Right. But he had to have some experience.
Well, enough said, Luke wasn't a disciple. He wasn't an apostle. Nor was Mark. Mark was only 9 years old. You remember this? You've heard me talk about this before. 19 out of 20 who become believers do so before they reach the age of 25. After 25, only 1 in 10,000. After 35, only 1 in 50,000. After 45, only 1 in 200,000. After 55, only 1 in 300,000. After 65, only 1 in 500,000. And after 75, only 1 in 700,000 become believers. Why? They've established a system of belief where they suspend judgment. They suspend critical judgment in order to sustain the false belief system. It doesn't matter what it is. There is no right belief system save in the cross of the Lord. The question is, What would it take for you to betray him? Christ had 7,000 followers. All but 12 left him. And then those 12 left. Paul, 3 different occasions, everyone that followed Paul left him. Why would God create such a system? Because the only reason time and space exist is to test that whether or not you will abandon yourself and pick up your cross and follow him, as opposed to following some lunatic idea or emotion or feeling that you have about a particular thing. You've got to cast it down with the moment it raises its head, otherwise you live in it. You can make it sound so sincere. God, how I hate sincerity. Now let's look at these 12 apostles. Each one of them were alone at some corner of the world. All of the apostles were insulted by the enemies of their master. They were called to seal their doctrines with their blood, and nobly did they bear their trial. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword at a distant city of Ethiopia. He died alone. All he would have had to say is that Jesus Christ was not resurrected in him. All he would have had to say is, I'm just teaching you this value system that you can put on top of your own beliefs. But he died alone. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark expired at Alexandria after being dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hanged upon an olive tree in the classic land of Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil and then banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified upside down at Rome with his head downward. James the Greater was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross, where he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance in India. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death in Salonica. And Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was at length beheaded at Rome by the Emperor Nero. Such was the fate of the apostles that named the name of Christ. Can you see why people believe in dispensationalism? Now, the question is, if you were sent out alone somewhere and all you had to say was that, well, Christianity is a value system that'll cause you to be a better person, nobody's going to stone you. Nobody's going to do anything to you. They're just going to ignore you as a non-event. Jesus said if you were his disciple, you would be hated of all men. Who hates you? I mean, you either got to live in here and pay attention to these your little silly emotions and feelings and thoughts, or you have to be able to and willing to produce your strong cause openly. But don't be a coward and just live in here and then, oh, I feel this way. Do you think I miss? Does one of you think you miss Tyra more than I do? But can that affect what I believe or what I say or what I think or what I feel? Can you celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles now? Can you burn that tabernacle of this earth that you might inherit the heavenly one? Jesus Christ wasn't born, didn't live, and didn't die, and wasn't resurrected so that you could have a happy life. That's the role of the Antichrist. Anybody have any response?
I'd just like to say that since I was in that place and left it, I saw in her a decision that she was digging in and she wanted to be there. She chose to be there.
That's right.
And it was like a slap in the face how clear it was that we don't have to put up with that. It is within our power and it is our choice. And we don't have to be fucked around with that shit anymore. Unless, of course, we want to be.
Yeah, but don't you understand that you inexorably will be in that position if you're trying to be right? Anybody else? But you have to go to battle. It's not against anything external. It's against this evil one. And you can't let it continue to sway you. It's just crazy. If you want to, I mean, you're welcome to. And don't tell me, well, you don't know what I'm feeling, Ollie. You don't understand. But Christ does. And he's placed upon you no testing. That's more than you can endure. If you choose to go to battle, if you choose to let it sway you and let it overtake you and do it all in the name of sincerity.
It's funny how Satan starts working on you when he thinks you're getting away from God and thinks you're,
you know. Well, Satan is your mind.
Preaching the house still.
Who?
Rick. And he was kind of deterred. But we need to pray for Ovi. I mean, he's kind of down and out. I had a true love about Daniel Tower. But you know, I just responded and said, I know he's in trouble, but if that moves him, then you know, everything he's been saying is a lie. And you know, he says, well, then he looked at me. And, you know, I'd like to come in, you know, if anything, you know, move you physically, you know, out of the rest, you know.
And everything I teach is a lie.
Yeah. And we're at the wrong place.
And this is just a big cosmic joke.
But you are just man, too.
Yeah, but I can go to...
You can pass it down quicker, but it's not going to... I'm going to keep it moments or times, so that you won't feel it.
Yeah, but you have to, whenever it's there, you have to cast it down. You can't live in it. Not for a minute.
And then, today, almost contradicted what I said to Rick. Because, you know, out of the blue, I never, on a Sunday, come and peep out the shade towards you. Because I know you down there to say it. Peeped out the curtain, and I saw you, you know, sitting at the porch with some coffee. I'm staring. No, no. I know that probably was there, but I don't know. And I started to come out and just say, start, you know, give you a pep talk. You know, talk about this.
No, I just came down to get a notebook. On Tuesday night, there's going to be three things that we do. One is that we burn the booth. Two is that we take the pomegranate. Hopefully some of the kids will have counted the pomegranate seeds by then. And throw it against the base of the altar. And then, did I say burn the booth?
Yeah.
And three is sing the Psalms of Ascent. But I want you each and every one of you to see whether or not you want to take that paradise apple, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and throw it against the altar, to bust and burst your value systems that are telling you you're naked or that you need more than you have.
I thought about that this weekend. I know. My sense of it was, I didn't want to do it, I didn't want to go through the pomegranate ritual. Just like, okay, it's my turn, you know, just like a good little automaton doing exactly what I was putting my little row to do. I thought, either it's going to be real, or I'm going to say, I'm not going to do it. You know what, it was actually very refreshing to say, can I do that and honestly do it? Because either I would honestly do it or I would honestly say no. You know, so it invited a process of thinking, okay, what does this mean? And do I really mean that? And I mean, I could arrive at yes, but I arrived at yes rather than thinking, oh, this is what we're doing Tuesday night. Yeah, it was me.
But you understand that each one of us has to go through that exercise.
Amen.
You can't do something just because only says to do it.
Or it's like, well, I'll smash 614, but 612. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that law. I think I want to keep that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all on or all off.
Right. It's taking the bread and the wine or worth it. I mean, if you're going back, you know, just allows the
But it's a neat feeling when you can that's what it means to abandon yourself.
Yeah.
The first words of Christ, abandon yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. The first words to the disciples. That's what we're going to talk about in the big group. But when you take that paradise apple, that ethrog, and busted against the base of the altar and says, yes, Father, I agree with you that I give up my right to believe. I give what you're doing when you do that is you're essentially giving up your right to yourself. And not giving it up to any man, but you're giving it up to God. But there are 613 laws of Moses. The only way we can, and those laws are spiritual. The only way we can give up the right the only way we can throw that pomegranate is to know that somebody has fulfilled all those laws and that somebody is our real identity. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in me, the hope of glory, but I want to keep on to this here.
Part of the time.
Either he fulfilled it, either he finished the course, either it is finished or it isn't. I mean, if it's not finished, then you got to go. There's a whole bunch of stuff you got to do. If you believe this Bible, if you don't believe it's finished, then you have to go up to Jerusalem. You have to rebuild the temple. You have to go find the perfect little animals without any spot or blemish. You have to find about $8 billion worth of gold. You have to find the ashes of the red heifer, which are probably disintegrated somewhere in a cave. You have to find the Ark of the Covenant and get it back into the temple. You have to reinstitute all the ceremonies, but they've been lost in antiquity. You have to recreate the temple music, but no one knows it. Or you have to say, I give myself to you, Father, without condition. I abandon myself. But all this other horse hockey that goes on in the name of religion isn't going to cut it. It's either it's finished and he's my life, or I got to take control of my life and I got to learn how to do it and I got to think positive thoughts. And I got, I took Bloom to the airport this morning, Bloom and Paula. It's coming back, I'm listening to KLIF. And there's Larry North comes on, who is some kind of fitness guru.
Mr.
Egg
White.
And he has on, his guest is, first of all, he talks about how he's been a disciple of Zig Ziglar's ever since he was a little child, and I almost turned it off
the
right there.
The guest or Larry North?
North. And then he had this black guy on that was another power of positive thinking person. And I was sitting there thinking, if they only knew what they were saying. I just gotta feed my mind with positive thoughts. I can't listen to the negativism. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my universe. They're conning themselves.
As if one manipulation is better than another manipulation.
Yeah.
I'm working it up the right way.
Nice.
But I want you to really think.
Nice and happy
puzzle. See, what happens? What happens when a circumstance occurs that you're not that you think should be different than it is? If it's within your power, you try to manipulate it. If it's not within your power, you sit and worry about it. But the alternative is to simply say, talk to my father about this. Who told me that I was naked? Who told me that I needed something more than I had at that minute in time? It's the same one that said to Adam and Eve that they were naked and they needed more than they had. The basis of the testing or the temptation of Eve was that she wanted more than she had. And the silly part of it is that she owned all things. So I want you to think about it and think long and hard about it. Between now and Tuesday, whether or not you are willing to take that and smash your ideas of good and evil against. Then when you throw that your value system that you think is then you can live by faith for the first time. Now you really need to do it bad. You've got so many. You don't have 613 little seeds in your ethrog. You've got about 9,000. That's what Christ said of today. He said, you shall travel over sea and land and make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twofold the child of hell that you are. Why? Because you don't not only have the 613, but then you teach him 613 more value systems, rights and wrongs, ways of doing it. Does everybody understand that you can live in the abandonment of yourself? That you never negotiate with it? You cast it down the minute it tries to tell you that things should be different than they are? Does that communicate to anybody?
Yeah.
And the second part of the ceremony is we each take a piece of that booth in the back and we break it off. Again, if one does it, then I'll do it. Tylene's daughter, Elise, lived in the booth for us. So we take and break off a piece of that booth and we throw it in the fire. And that means that we are then willing to undergo the baptism of fire. Will your belief systems, will your value systems, will your dreams, your hopes, your ambitions stand the test of fire? If not, they're just ludicrous. Now, all flesh is as grass, and the glory is as the flower of the grass. When that booth is burned, spiritually, what happens is, in the ancients, the rabbis believed that when the booth was burned, you joined the heavenly matrona with the earthly body. And so the two became one. Heaven and earth were joined together because you acknowledged that earth wasn't your home. That you're a stranger in a bizarre land, but that you're walking in power because you're wherever your foot touches is the promised land. No circumstance can you ever find yourself in that isn't the promise. That's what the resurrection of Christ in you means. We find out what faith is. Faith isn't a commodity that you get something by. Oh, let's pray for. We always pray for something. Do you understand? Oh, I want to pray for this. And that's fine. I mean, you know. But faith is the act of believing that whatsoever situation you find yourself in is of God. Again, the idea is that our outer man is perishing. Do you know, I'm getting older than dirt every day. Oh, don't say that, Ollie. Well, the only reason you want me to say that is because you don't want to be, you don't want to happen to you.
I don't want to be as old as dirt.
Actually,
I mean, you're dying. You were born to die. You're getting old. Your outer man is perishing.
I about wraps it up.
Kitty is terrible.
And end up like Kitty Blaine.
Cat's got some vision.
I remember when that was, even that represents your willingness for time to end when we burn it. But when it was built, anything that man touched or a tool of man touched had to be buried in the earth. Now, it's the booth's destruction represents your victory over the nations. It represents true faith. Can you hear that?
No, over the...
There's nothing on the face of the earth can touch you. Nothing on the face of the earth can cause you to leave the rest. No circumstance, no thing, no pain, no suffering, no nothing on the face of the earth can cause you to leave the peace of God.
He can call you out though.
Hmm?
I said it can call you out though.
It can call you out?
Give you a run around the
wall.
Get over
here.
Get over here.
It's pretty slick sometimes. Sometimes it's just amazing. What?
As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Scary
sometimes. Mystify that much. Are you eating your flesh for a reason?
Yeah.
Figured.
Should have had two pieces of dessert.
All right, the next thing we do is we read the Psalms of Ascent. So let's, we sing them all the time, but let's read them now.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Oh, cool.
You're so articulate.
Psalm 120.
I approve of this highly.
We knew that. We joked this up.
Can I ask a question now?
No.
Well, I can understand it. If we are a body, I mean, you talk about members in particular, and we're all joined together and one leaves, decides to leave, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean, too, that you're gone, though, right?
Right. What it means is it's not our business. What it means is that, again, I mean, I can only give you the examples of several different people. Wade was gone for 12 years. Rick was gone for 8 years. Doug was gone innumerable times, several times, for different periods of time. If Carl Stone comes back, he's been gone for 18 years. But again, it doesn't matter. It's so anyway. I firmly believe that they're part.
Yeah.
Okay. The Psalms of Ascent are Psalm 120 to 134. They're read as you whenever they're read. They were read by Israel whenever Israel was going on their way up to the pilgrimage feast. That's the only time they could be read, before Pentecost, before Passover, and before Tabernacles, as they were moving up to Jerusalem. Then they're read in an interesting time. An elaborate stage had been set in the court of women, and on it were 15 steps. And as each one of these psalms were sung, they moved up one of the steps, and they did this even knowing that the reason for the Psalms of Ascent in the book were so that when they were outside of Jerusalem, that they would be, it would be the evidence of their journey towards Jerusalem. They sang it again on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, so that to signify that that wasn't their home, that the true Jerusalem they were going up to, even while they were in the midst of the temple. Amen? Amen. So now we're going to sing these, but now let's read them.
120.
Yeah.
There was something really neat that you said a few years ago. I can't remember it exactly, but you had just read something in the Talmud that you were so excited about, because the effect of it was that each one of those 15 steps covered all of your doubts. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I just remember how moved you were by that. A really extraordinary thought.
Yeah, there's no condition that you can find yourself in that isn't covered by these psalms, the 15 psalms of ascent. And so whenever you're out of the rest, the ancient rabbi said, the first thing you do is go read the Psalms of Ascent. They couldn't be sung except during the cases that I said. Okay. Read Psalm 120, 121, 122. Do you want to read? 123, you want to read? 124? 125? 26? 27, 28, you don't want to read. 29, you want to read? 30, 31, 32. All right.
In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul.
Now, remember now, we're going to sing these hopefully tonight, or some of them. So, remember what they start over again, and remember the psalm.
In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Okay, does anybody remember what Mesesh is?
Mm-mm. Murdoch.
The tents of Mesesh. It's one of the cities or types of the Canaanite, which is a merchant. Mm-hmm. that you've been living in cause and effect, that you needed to buy something to get something. Okay?
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
I was glad when they said unto me.
Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy places. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good.
Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us, and the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, and the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to her teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about this people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous be put forth their hands into iniquity, unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel.
Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, my Israel, my Israel, and I say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back to hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor that bindeth sheaves his bosom, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself, as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever.
Mighty God, I pray for you. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O God, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep thy covenant, my covenant, and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision, I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion.
You know, I was just, while we were reading that, I was thinking, what an amazing job that John did.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I know.
It's really wild.
I kept hearing and thinking about how many thousands of years have passed that this same stuff has been read. It's like, it was not being spoken now. It was just like it was being spoken all at once.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The next thing that's kind of weird that happens, we're not going to do this because I don't want the house to fall down, but again, they made all of this incredible effort to build the temple. It took in the Herod's temple, it took 46 years to build the temple. It was.
I think Harry was there.
Sounds like the bathroom.
He as long as the bath.
The bath and those protrusions.
The next thing they did was really strange. They had a canopy that was built just like a booth over the altar in the temple. Remember when we read this Psalm 47 and blow the trumpet and march around the
seven times?
Remember? What feast?
Feast of Jericho. Jericho.
Yeah. Feast of Jericho.
Feast of Jericho.
Rosh Hashanah.
No, you do it in Rosh Hashanah. And and it's the idea that you'd march around the walls of Jericho seven times the trumpet would blow and the walls would fall down. Well, on the seventh day of the feast, they marched around the altar. So that it's got to freak them out. Why did they march around seven times around the altar? Because every time they marched seven times around the altar, something was supposed to fall down.
That was their clue, though. That was their tie-in.
I know, but they didn't understand it, except a few. So let's go to...
It wouldn't fall.
Time.
No, tie-in that... About the meaning of the booth, really. I mean, because when was the other time they did that? Was when a city was just obliterated.
Yeah. So they're saying that the natural temple will fall so that we can see the heaven next to us. But let's read now. There's a bunch of psalms that are called the Psalms of Enthronement. And they are the psalms that are read in which at the time that a king was enthroned.
Cool.
And strangely enough, Psalm 47 was one of the Psalms of Enthronement. Does anybody remember what the other ones were?
Mm-mm. Which ties into Rosh Hashanah and the king business.
Right.
Said
47.
King
stuff. 47. Yeah, Psalm 47 was one of them. Psalm, I know 92 to 96 were, but there's something one I can't remember just a minute. Never tell you I had too many notes. Well, looks like we're not going to read the Psalms at all. We'll read 47 in a minute.
Bring it all up.
I just read it. Where did I just read it?
Probably in your office.
Don't know what's there.
Only? Yeah, too many notes.
Somebody read Psalm 47. Jackie?
Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord is most high. Is that clapping? For the Lord most high is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, singing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, who is greatly exalted.
What are shields symbolic of?
Shields of the earth.
Oh, I know where I read it. I read it in the Jewish Encyclopedia.
Oh, of course. Let's go.
Psalm 92. Yeah, it's Psalm 92 through 98, I think. So.
Did you or sacrifice to God?
Miss Buckner, would you read Psalm 92?
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness in the night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with the solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But thy horn shall thou...
Stop a minute. The Psalms of Enthronement have to have as their meaning that he is now enthroned in the temple. And on the Feast of Tabernacles, the times of the different temples were dedicated, and the Shekinah glory filled the temple. And it's the time that the Lord is enthroned in you as your temple, as you as the temple. And it's like somebody, you've got to give up. You understand? You've got to surrender so that he can win. All right, go ahead.
For my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall also show speed my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Chris?
The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods lifted up, O Lord, the floods lifted up their voice, the floods lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever.
In imagery in the scriptures, the waters of the sea are always symbolic of the human race, but more critically, it's the judgments of the human race. So, he rises above all judgments. I mean, we always think we got it right, he's...
That's what I was thinking, the thing about singing Psalm 37 going around the
47.
47? Did I say 37? I meant 47.
Figured you did.
It's a synapse problem. But the idea that the walls, the metal walls around the altar, the expectations and the images that encase the altar are what was being destroyed.
Is there such thing as a unicorn?
Unicorn?
Why would they have that in here?
Because it's always been an animal of myth, because it was an original, it was one of the decans and the signs of the zodiac. And so...
Which one was it?
I can't remember. Michael.
O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs.
Now this psalm.
Yikes.
What?
Zowie. Suspicious.
Are you laughing at me?
No, when you stop, you gotta want to. It's kind of like.
Vengeance
songs.
Yeah. Let's stop it at that place.
Good answer to this week.
Vengeance.
The idea that it looks like the wicked, again, you remember the word iniquity is the Hebrew word avon or avon. Avon calling. It means self-seeking. That's all it means. Self-seeking under any guise is avon or iniquity. And the workers of iniquity, how long shall they triumph? And the real question is that, if you're like in a siege or something, you might be concerned. But normally, the thing that concerns you is how long shall this evil one, this worker of iniquity, triumph? So, now read it.
Psalm 92. God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, then when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord shall not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
That's pretty cool, the throne of iniquity. That's setting yourself up in that throne versus the throne of God. Who are you?
You see that the Lord blessed is the man who thou chastenest. But the chastening, you understand, the word, it doesn't carry its full import in English, but the word in Greek or in Hebrew here means, and it does the same in the Greek and in Hebrews 10, or whatever Hebrew, but it means to endure to experience chastening means that you endure in it, that you don't get up and run. That you endure in whatever it is that comes upon you that makes it appear that whatever position you're in is unbearable. Now, if you have someplace else to run to, then, you know, that's another story. But you're still not in, but what will happen is then you'll run again. It's a guarantee, it's a sure bet. If you get up and run from one chastening, you'll get up and run for the next chastening.
Aren't there a lot of chastenings that you just can't run from? And in that, like, blessing from?
Well, that's the point. That you, all your life you've run from chastenings. All your life you've murdered. Every time you've left somebody, you've murdered them. And every time you've left what you thought was an unbearable situation, that means that you left the chastening of God. So now what happens is all that's happened, there's no big mystery here. All that's happened is we've run out of places to run. And that's what a believer is. Believer isn't anything great, he's just somebody that run out of places to run. Okay, who's next? Michael?
Oh,
I mean, you just read. You read.
657.
Never mind, go ahead.
Okay.
Read, okay.
Where did you
make 35. Okay, cool. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he has made it, and his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, and they should not enter into rest, into my rest.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. But worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The Lord also shall be established, or shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Ye preserve the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, hath gotten him the victory. Now you know that what it means. The right hand is the Zeruah, which is his holy arm. The Zeruah is the seed. The word, it's first the seed. It's in the natural, it's a man's inheritance or a man's strength is in his offspring, in the seed. Well, it's a metaphor for God that his strength, his holy arm, has gotten him the victory. He didn't depend anymore on man. Now a new thing has been created. And we are just the vessels for that new thing. And it's Christ in you, again, the hope of glory. Christ is the right hand, the holy arm. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before him, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now, there's another one, but I can't remember what it is. But those are the Psalms of Enthronement. and they are the psalms that were read only at the coronation of the king and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and with the exception of Psalm 47, which was also read other places. But everything, the things that happened on the Feast of Tabernacles, the pillar of the cloud by day and the fire by night first appeared to Israel on the first day of the feast. Moses announced that in Exodus that the tabernacle of God was in them. The dedication of Solomon's temple and the descent of the Shekinah glory took place in the Feast of Tabernacles. The scene in Revelation 7, somebody go there, verse 9 took place at the Feast of Tabernacles. The law was placed in the ark of the tabernacle on the feast. Christ changed the water into wine at Canaan on the feast. He was transfigured. And then in his last one, he spoke about the rivers of living water. But read Revelation 7, verse 9 to 17.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen. Then on whatever night we decide, again, we're going to, all the final decisions we've made in a minute. That's why hopefully everybody will come tonight. Some of you have a tendency not to come to the big group, but I hope you all come tonight because we need to talk about when we're going to do the feast. But
either Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, we may do the Ethrog ceremony Monday. I mean, that's a possibility. But anyway, we need to just talk about it and see what schedules it'll upset. And just kind of try to make it the time when everybody can come. If we meet Tuesday and Thursday with the burning the booth and the feast, then tonight is the last night we'll meet as Bananas until November 3rd, I think. All groups we're taking a fast.
You're even a Levite.
And everybody's going out of town. All the Levites except for Harry and Barbara and I are going out of town. Fishing and stuff.
But we are meeting on November 3rd.
Whatever that...
Just to lecture that you're going to be here.
Huh?
Halloween soon.
Oh, lecture.
Yeah. I know, but...
The Tuesday is the first time we'll meet as Bananas.
She's great.
But I want you to go to wherever it is you used to go for sustenance during that time. If you're Word of Faith.
The liquor store!
I'm going to Word of Faith.
The
sign in is Jerry Martin. Baby dolls.
Okay, anybody else have any?
That's really bad.
Take a big guy.